Some of us in this room are old enough to remember when there wasn't such a thing as a zip code. There were public service announcements on television when I was in grade school saying, please, 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 when you mail a letter. Some of us are old enough to remember mailing letters. When you mail a letter, please include your zip code. Zip codes really became who we are. When the mailman actually brings something to your mailbox, they start reading the address from the bottom. In fact, very beginning, they just simply start with the zip code. And that gets it on its way to you. October 1981, phone rings at our house. Jerry Smith, one of the two deacons of this church, was on the other end. And he said, understand you're looking maybe to be a pastor, and it's something I fought with all of my passion and all of my effort up until that point in my life. And I said, well, yeah. He said, would you come fill pulpit at our church? And I said, where is that? Well, it's 8920 West Britton Road, Langsburg, Michigan, 48848. Didn't have GPSs back then. Actually had to get on a map, find it on the map, and we pull up in front of Graham Church, and I preach that Sunday. Go on home after that, and the phone rings again and said, evidently, you know, some people liked what they heard. Would you be willing to come back and fill pulpit again? And so we came back again, and I remember Esther Stevens and Margaret Hughes. They got there early, and I walked in, and they said, oh, we're so glad you're back. One of them said, I think it was Esther, said, I just love your preaching. And I started to puff and swell, and she said, I can hear every word you say. I wasn't born with an indoor voice. I was asked again to come back in December. In fact, if my memory serves me right, it was over New Year's Eve weekend, and did that candidating thing to where you have a personal time with every group from the nursery all the way through the youth group and all the way on. And they vote in January, and 29 votes are cast, 26 yes, 3 no. And I was told in Bible school, you don't accept those calls. If you don't get 100%, don't go. That was 82%. And I don't know if I was stupid or if I was immature or if I was just following God, but we accepted. And we moved here, and January 17th, 1982 was the very first Sunday, official Sunday, that I was pastor of the church. I remember they moved us in a snowstorm on Saturday. I preached on Sunday. Monday, I went to my little office. Mike has this Walmart office, and I had this little bitty thing, and I remember unloading my 12 or 14 books I owned and sitting at my desk and saying, now what do I do? Because I didn't have a clue what to do. But God stepped in, and God started doing some great things at 48848, and I was just blessed to be a part of that. It's 1994. I'm attending a pastor's conference, Oak Park, Illinois. And I walk into the room. It was at a church. It wasn't a large thing. And here sits one man by himself at a table. And I thought, well, shoot, I'm just going to sit by the only other guy in the room at the moment. Unbeknownst to me, I sat down next to the keynote speaker. His name was Leith Anderson, who'd wrote a book a few years prior to that called Dying for Change. The basic premise of the book was, times are changing, society's changing, people are changing. If the church doesn't change, it's going to die. And I sat through his workshops, and the one that just struck me so powerfully was a workshop where he talked about pastoring two rapidly growing churches that needed larger facilities. There was nothing available nearby. One was in Colorado, one was in Minnesota, and actually led those congregations to not only new facilities, but a whole new zip code. And I thought, how do you ever get away with that? In fact, I remembered a conversation. The basement of the original sanctuary there at 8920 Britton Road. We're having this potluck. And I'm on one side of a long table, and Esther Stevens, bless her heart, was on the other side, and her granddaughter Debbie and her family were next to her, and Esther looked across at me, and she says, "Pastor, while I'm alive, I hope this church never outgrows our beautiful little white church building on the hill." Now, I didn't know how to answer that, but I didn't have to, because Debbie spoke right up, her granddaughter, and Debbie said, "Then God may have to take you early then, Grandma." I really didn't see us staying small enough to stay in that building. But I never saw us going beyond that piece of real estate at 8920 Britton Road. But here we are. Why are we here? Why do we find ourselves at this place with the original, the boards, the bricks, the doors, the windows there, and us here? I believe we're here because someone dared to dream big. Mark Batterson wrote a book called The Circle Maker. In that book, he says, "We go after dreams that don't require divine intervention." In other words, we think small. "We go after dreams that don't require prayer. And the God who is able to do immeasurably more than all our right brain can imagine, limited by a God, lowercase g, who fits within the logical constraints of our left brain," the emphasis here is mine, not his, "nothing honors God more than a big dream that is way beyond our ability to accomplish." Why? Because there is no way we can take credit for it. And really, that's where we're here sitting and I'm standing and we're enjoying today. Jesus said in Matthew 16, "I will build my church." Gary Hashley did not build Graham Church. Mike Hickson did not build Graham Church. I'm glad it worked out since I turned his name in 21 years ago. And I can get the credit for that, otherwise I'd get the blame. But it's Christ who builds his church. Paul wrote, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Back in 1995, when Rachel and I were wrestling, and I mean truly wrestling with leaving Graham Church to go to Wyoming to teach at Frontier School of the Bible, one of the things that we really wrestled with was, we love this congregation. We don't want to see Graham Church falter. We don't want to see them struggle in the transition to a new pastor and the time between and all of those things. We'd witnessed churches over and over again doing so well, and the pastor leaves, and sometimes there's great gap of time between the one leaving and one coming, and people start to filter away, and people start to get discouraged, and the numbers start to drop back, and the ministries start to suffer and start to struggle. And part of that, some of that concern, was my pride. Because after watching God take Graham Church from about 40 people in January of 82 to a new building completed in 1994, just prior to that, and two worship services, and somewhere between 250 and 275 on a typical Sunday morning, part of the pride in me said, I don't want to see anything happen to this, partly because Graham Church was never really supposed to amount to anything. If you were to ask any of the churches in towns in Shiawassee County, if Graham Church out in the country, 3.5 miles from the nearest town, would ever amount to anything, we were just the poor country cousin who was always going to be this little church that just has a few faithful people in it. And yet God did great things. I remember standing in Mahoney's IGA one day. I was in one aisle of the store, and across I heard two female voices, two women speaking, and one simple statement. and that was, have you heard what's going on at Graham Church? I did not recognize the first voice or the second voice. I didn't want to run because that didn't appear too professional. So I made my way down to go around the corner and look and see who said that, and they weren't there. They'd gone around another corner, and I decided not to chase them down and end up in jail for stalking. But, when I heard that, it was like God had said to me, Ashley, I'm going to do a great thing, when it wasn't supposed to happen at this little country, no place church. That was some of my concern. Most of our concern, though, was our love for the people who were Graham Church, the people who had become part of Graham Church, and my desire to see them continue to be and to become everything God wanted them to be and become. So now as I stand here, and we're in this beautiful facility, tons of potential for continued growth and outreach. There have been four things I've been learning about the church over my years as a pastor, over my years in ministry, that I want to share with you today. Four things I've been learning about Christ and His church. Number one is Christ does not see a spot on the map as His church. 8920 West Britton Road, Langsburg, Michigan, 48848, is where Graham Church met for a lot of years, but that is not Graham Church. He doesn't see it as a spot on the map. And he doesn't see a building at that spot on the map as his church. That's not how he sees his church. We get real attached to addresses, zip codes, buildings, bricks and mortar. We get real attached to those things. And we start to think that this is my church, when in reality, it's dirt and it's boards and it's glass and it's metal and it's block and it's shingles. But Christ doesn't see the building on a spot on the map as His church. Not at all. In fact, I was asked just recently, their Calvary Memorial is growing in Gearing again. We went through kind of a plateau time, and Rachel and I have been back there about 10 years, and that's about the time Graham started taking off, was it 10 years? And I had a guy come to me. They had a funeral in our building because their little building wouldn't hold it. A friend of mine, he came to me and says, I hear you're going to relocate. Can we buy your building? We hadn't even thought of leaving the property, leaving the building at this point, but it's like, okay, God, are you telling us something? I don't know. I told him it wasn't for sale at the moment. But it's not a spot on the map. I also have learned about Christ and His church that Christ has amazing plans when it comes to His church. All three of our kids went to school here. And I didn't remember until talking to our older daughter on the phone while we were driving yesterday that she actually attended fifth grade here the first year they added fifth grade to this building. James, kindergarten through fourth grade. Janine, kindergarten through second grade. And you know, when our kids attended school in this building, I never even imagined this would be the gathering place for Graham Church. Never even imagined that. And you know, I bet when Perry Schools expanded the facility, they never dreamed they were building it for you. They probably had no clue we're going to spend all this money and add on to this so Graham Church can have a better facility than they'd have if we didn't add on. And I can't believe that when Perry Schools closed this building that they ever thought it'd become part of an amazing gathering place for Graham Church. Christ has amazing plans when it comes to His church. I never would have dreamed it. But I've also learned that Christ has unlimited power when it comes to His church. He's done amazing things for Graham Church in the past. He is doing amazing things for Graham Church in the present. And He can do amazing things for Graham Church in the future. So what? Two thoughts that come right from my heart that I hope you can grab a hold of. You know, there's a small part of Gary Ashley, having spent 13 and a half years of ministry at Graham Church, there's a small part of me that's sad that Graham Church is leaving our old zip code. I lived a lot of life on that 3 1/4 acres. I did a lot of things in that community. But I don't I want to stop remembering a prayer God brought to my heart that I started praying many years ago at Graham Church. And this is what I would pray. God, don't let me get in the way of what you're doing. And God, don't let me undo what you've already done. So that small part of me that's sad wants to continue to pray that prayer. Lord, don't let me get in the way of what you're doing and don't let me undo what you've already done. So there's a big part of me that is absolutely excited about Graham Church having a new zip code. And I hope that together we can continue to pray, don't let us get in the way of what you're doing and don't let us undo what you've already done. Some of you may be here today and say, I think leaving our building on Britton Road and moving here is the stupidest thing the board ever came up with. You don't have to say it out loud. You don't have to tell them. But some of you are probably thinking, or at least maybe it's not quite that severe, but you're thinking, man, I liked where we were. I didn't think we needed to move. And it was comfortable there. Some of you are saying, man, I don't ever have to fix that building again. This is fantastic. I never have to worry about those things again that were a problem there. But wherever you're at in that, would you make this your prayer? Don't let us get in the way of what you're doing, God. And don't let us undo what you've already done. Where will Graham Church be in the days to come? I don't have a clue, but you're already way beyond where I ever dreamed it. So let's thank God for what He's done. Father, I just want to say thank you for what you're doing here. I want to thank you for what you've done in the past, what you're doing today, and what you're going to do tomorrow. And Father, I pray that none of us will ever get in the way of what you're trying to do. And none of us will ever be guilty of undoing what you've already done. Father, we see that happen around us all the time. I see that happen in churches all the time. But Lord, may we not be a part of that. To God be the glory, even for a new zip code. In Jesus' name I pray.